As I was praying to see what the Lord had me share, you know, it was a little bit of a struggle because I, you know, I could share a lot of things. You know, we've been doing this for, like I said, 33 years, so I've got a lot of messages and what have you. But we don't want just any old message. We want a message from the heart of God. Amen. We don't want to just warm up some message I preached 10 years ago. We want a message from the heart of God. And so I sought him, and I feel like the Lord has a plan for this service today that'll be a blessing and is a need, because God knows the needs of every person. Amen. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And so knowing that, we can trust him to give direction. Amen. And so I entitled this Prayer for a Change. And you know, you can take that two ways. It can be, you know, prayer for a change. Instead of doing whatever you are doing, you're going to pray for a change. We could take it that way, right? Or we could take it as prayer is that which will change things. Do you believe prayer will change things in our situations? Amen. And so you can take it both ways. I think that maybe we have a double meaning in this, because you know what? Sometimes we try to accomplish things in our own power, our own strength. We try to figure everything out, but God has a better plan, and that is for us to pray and seek his face and get guidance and direction from him. Amen? Now, if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The reference is up. Ephesians chapter 6, I do not have it. I will have it in another translation in a couple of moments. But if you have a Bible with you, and I hope that you do, because this is a church that believes in the Bible, amen? And we want to study the Bible together. We don't want to come together, and we need to be very careful of that. You don't need me telling a lot of stories. Now, there's nothing wrong with stories if they relate to the Scripture. But, you know, I've known preachers, all they do is tell stories all the time. And, you know, that isn't enough. That's not enough. And I want you to know that, you know, it's not enough just to be able to sing. You know, a lot of churches today, they emphasize the singing. Thank God for the ability to worship God and praise God. But you know, when times get tough and when the adversary comes against us, sure, we can praise God and worship God. But what you need also is the Word of God in your heart so that you can speak it out of your mouth as a sword of the Spirit in order to combat against the temptations of the enemy. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? Amen. And so a lot of times I think that there's been a lack of the teaching of the Word, a lack of the expounding on the Word of God. There's a lot of frivolous things out there, but we want to be grounded and rooted in God's Word so that the Word that's in the pages of the book get into our hearts and into our minds, get our minds renewed, and therefore we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? Amen. And this is so vital. But that takes work. You know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so a lot of times, you know, we don't want to work at it. We don't want to work at getting the word of God in our hearts. But if we're going to be victorious in life, if we're going to have a life that's worth living, we've got to get the word into our hearts and into our lives and be speaking it out of our mouths. And so therefore, we emphasize that because we think it's vitally, vitally important. Now, notice now, it says in Ephesians 6, by now you've gotten there, right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, in the context, he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, and we could talk about that for a long time. That could be a series, and I've taught on that before, but I want to emphasize verse 18 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. It reads this way. Paul says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul goes on, we'll read verse 19, and he's asking them to pray for him. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul is asking the Ephesian believers to pray for one another, pray for fellow believers, pray for him, that he'll have boldness, that he'll be able to have the utterance. That means, that implies at least, that he would speak that which the Spirit of God gives to him in order to convey the gospel in a way that people are most apt to receive it. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it reads this way, and that's up on the screen, Ephesians 6:18. Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. The saints are not what a lot of people think. Now, I know I need to define this sometimes. The saints are all true believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what biblically the word saints means. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying that we are to pray on every occasion with all manner of prayer. All manner of prayer. Some translations translate it as all kinds of prayer. How many of you realize there's different kinds of praying, isn't there? Amen? There are different kinds of praying. Maybe you're not aware of that, but there are things like prayer of intercession, which is primarily praying for unbelievers. In most cases, intercession has to do with praying for unbelievers. And then there's the prayer of supplication, which basically has the idea, and it's a difficult thing to define, but it's even mentioned more in the New Testament than the word intercession. Supplication seems to be meaning an intense entreaty of God, intense prayer. And it's usually used in the sense of praying for fellow believers, that we are to have intense prayer for fellow believers. And so those are two kinds of prayer. The prayer of faith, every kind of prayer ought to be a prayer of faith. Amen? If you're not praying in faith, you might as well not pray. And then, of course, there's the kind of praying in tongues. We thank God for praying in the Spirit, praying by way of the power of the Spirit of God giving us utterance, and we can pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. So there's a lot of different kinds of prayer. You'll notice again, Paul from the Amplified says it this way. He said, pray at all times on every occasion and every season. And notice he says that next phrase, in the Spirit, in the Spirit. Now, that basically is trying to tell us that when we pray, we need to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's telling us that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Do you believe He helps you to pray? And with that, we could understand that He would help us to pray by guiding us in our prayer. Do you believe the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in prayer? I cannot tell you how many times, and I'm sure all of you, if you've prayed much at all, you know that there are times when you're in the midst of prayer that all of a sudden a person comes to mind that you had not been thinking about, and the Holy Spirit is guiding you to pray for that individual or those individuals, or a circumstance comes to mind. The Holy Spirit is empowering us and guiding us in our praying, and so therefore, in that sense, we could say that the Holy Spirit is partnering together with us as we pray. We don't ever want to pray in the flesh, and that would be the contrast to that, isn't that right? It would be, you know, pray in the flesh. No, we don't want to pray by our own power. We want to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of every believer. He dwells in you. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And even better than that, in terms of the empowerment, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which in a couple of weeks is Pentecost Sunday. We'll be doing a whole service on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which has one main evidence, in fact, I would say the main evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this speaking in a spiritual language that's available to every believer. And that helps us to have our spirits sensitive more to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And so again, this idea of praying with all kinds of prayer. Now, this particular author, he wrote this, and he was kind of a mainline, evangelical kind of guy. But yet this statement is really, I thought, pretty good. And I'm going to read it, and then I'll explain it, because he uses bigger words than some of us might be aware of. It says, rationalism teaches that prayer is unreasonable because an omniscient God, omniscient means an all-knowing God, you know, like science. You can see in the latter part of that, all science, right? All knowledge, all right? He's an all-knowing God. How many of you would agree to that? And so it says this again, rationalism teaches that prayer is unreasonable because an all-knowing God would already know what is required better than the man who prays. God, nevertheless, has sovereignly ordained prayer as a means to accomplishing His will in the world and has instructed those who believe in Him to present their petitions. The importance of prayer is revealed in John 14, 13 and 14, wherein Christ promised to do whatever they would ask in His name. Accordingly, God has elevated the importance of prayer to the point where, to a large degree, God has conditioned His own action on the faithful prayer of the believer. That's an amazing thing to think about, because again, you know, people in their rational thinking, if they believe in prayer at all, believe in God at all, that He's an all-knowing God, they think, well, what's the point in praying? God knows what we need. We don't need to pray and ask Him for it. He knows everything, and yes, He does know everything, but there's something about His plan that says that there's certain things He will not be able to. You say, well, God can do anything. He cannot do just anything. He can only do that which His Word has said He will do, because He has limited Himself by His own Word. Just like if you're a person of your word, you're supposed to be a person of integrity. And by giving your word, you are limiting yourself as to your options. Isn't that right? If you say you're going to be in such and such a place at a certain time, a certain day, then you've just limited your options from being anywhere else on that same day. Isn't that right? And so you have done that. God has limited himself by giving certain promises and saying certain things that he will do. He's limited himself. And therefore, we can trust him, though. Amen? If we thought he'd just do anything at any whim, you know, if he got on the, you know, got up in a bad mood or something, we couldn't trust him. But thank God we can, because we know he's consistent. We know that he is not a man that he should lie, right? Are you doing all right today? And so again, notice that last part again. He said that accordingly, God has elevated the importance of prayer to the point where, to a large degree, God has conditioned his own action on the faithful prayer of the believer. What a responsibility and what a privilege that we can be people of prayer and partner together with the Holy Spirit and see things accomplished on the earth. Amen? Amen. Now notice now, prayer, because people think this way, prayer is not a religious form or show. We're not talking about some kind of religious kind of thing. It is not about how you hold your head or if you fold your hands. It's about the posture of your heart, or in other words, the posture of your attitude, we'll say. The posture of your inclination on the inside. The posture of your heart. It is not cultivating a religious sounding voice. And we would include with that, you know, it's not praying in King James Version, right? A religious sounding voice. It is the crying of your heart. It is not something that is done to impress men. It is something done to touch the heart of God. Amen? And so it's so wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. The idea that we can pray and believe God and commune with him. It's not always praying, asking for things. It's praying to commune with him, right? To have fellowship with him. To get more intimately knowing him. And of course, all within the Word of God, and nothing contrary or outside the Word of God that he's given us, but to have this communion with the living God, the creator of the universe, is an amazing opportunity that most Christians, including myself, do not take advantage of as much as we should. I can tell this is not going over real well probably, but it's the truth, isn't it? Amen? Think on these things. Ponder on these things. Notice E.M. Bounds was a preacher of days gone by, and he's got so many amazing statements concerning prayer. He was known as a man of prayer. E.M. Bounds said this, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on his great work upon earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause on prayer. Amazing, amazing. And yet we don't do it enough. I think one reason why is because we have an adversary. We have an adversary, the devil, that goes about trying to convince us, well, you don't need to pray. Prayer is boring. Prayer has no a benefit or all of that kind of thing. You know, we get this idea. And then, you know, have you ever noticed? I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I've noticed that when I've started to pray, I start to pray and all of a sudden I think about all these things I'm supposed to get done. Anybody else had that problem? I begin to think about all these things. And so I've learned that instead of stopping praying, I'm going to write those things down. I'm going to write those things down so that I don't forget about them, because what we do oftentimes is we begin to remember things we need to get done. And so we stop praying, we go get those things done. But really what we ought to do is just write them down and you won't forget and keep on praying. And you know, one thing I've found as well, and I'm sure many of you as well have found this out, that if I'll spend time praying, those things that need to get done a whole lot quicker and a whole lot better anyway. Amen. And so this is so important. Now, prayer promises. I want to give you a few prayer promises. Then we're going to pray, especially for a certain group of people that are struggling in a certain area. I'm just going to give you a bunch of scriptures now. Is that be all right? You can write them down, or you can take a picture of the screen, or whatever you want to do. But look them up on your Bible. Some of them you want to highlight and underline. Get it down on the inside of you. Memorize scripture. How many of you know it's good to memorize scripture? 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of us know it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, of course, this is in the context of Israel and again, the temple and all of that. But how many of you know this, you know, some people argue, well, you know, you can't take that out of its context. Listen. You know, there are some scriptures. Yes, we need to take scripture within its context, but you also got to remember that some of these, like this one, they are showing us a consistent character trait of our God. And so, you know, you can take it out of context in terms of it conveying to us characteristics about a God who is still the same for us today that he was for Israel when that was stated the first time. Does that make sense to you? And so this is a characteristic of our God, that if we'll call on his name, if we'll humble ourselves, how many of you know other scripture says things like he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, amen, etc., and then pray and seek his face. I mean, this is consistent with other scriptures that show us the same idea, and his promises, he'll hear from heaven, and he'll forgive our sin and heal our land, praise God. How about Psalm 34 and verse 15? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. How many of you know that in Christ, you and I are called the righteous, are we not? How about the rest of you? Did you realize in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says concerning Christ that he who knew no sin, how many of you know he was sinless, was he not? The God-man, God became man and dwelt amongst us. He became flesh and dwelt in our midst. He was sinless, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin or bear the sin or the penalty of sin for us, that we, those that believe on him, might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So therefore, we are righteous in Christ. We are in right standing with God because of what Christ has done, if we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Say, I am righteous in Christ. And it's been imputed to you. It's been put to your account. It's nothing that you can earn. It's not your own righteousness. It's his righteousness. Can you imagine? His righteousness has been imputed to the believer. What an amazing thing. Think about his righteousness. It's not our own. I'd rather have his anyway. How about you? His right standing. His innocence is part of the meaning of righteousness. Amen? And so the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. That's you and me. And his ears are open to their cry. Proverbs chapter 15, 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Everybody say, that's me. How about Psalm 91 and 14 through 16? We studied this recently on Thursday nights. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Who's the one he's going to answer? Those that have set his love, their love upon him, right? And he said, I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him with long life. I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. How about you? I'm standing on that passage. How about you? I mean, there's conditions to it. Of course, verse 1 says, he that abides in the shadow of the Almighty and dwells in the secret place of the Most High, as part of that means staying close to God, setting our love upon him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live a long life in Jesus' name. And it's going to be a healthy life in Jesus' name. Now, we got to contend for it. We got to fight the good fight of faith for it. But that's what I'm shooting for. How about you? Amen. And you say, well, what if Jesus comes first? Well, we're still going to have a really, really, really long life, aren't we? Amen. And so again, let's go on with some more scripture because I'm running out of time. Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 11. How many of you know I always run out of time? Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Now notice now, this is Jesus. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent or a snake? If you then, being evil in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, much more. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Again, my attempt here is to build faith in you by speaking the Word of God, by us reading the Word of God and knowing what God's plan and his will is for our lives. And that is to answer believing prayer, answering prayer that is based on his Word. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it reads this way. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I want you to take note of something here. Notice it does not say, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe it when you see it. Does it say that? No. When does it say you're supposed to believe it? You're supposed to believe it when you pray. You're supposed to believe that it's yours when you pray. Whether you see it, whether you feel it, whether there's any outward evidence of it, we believe that we receive when we pray because we pray according to what we know His Word says belongs to us. Amen? And so you say, what about healing? Healing's the best example, the easiest example. We pray, we believe God, and from there on out, we believe we receive when we pray concerning healing. It's ours, whether we feel like it, look like it, or anything else. We receive it by faith. We believe it when we pray, and if we'll believe it when we pray, we will see it. Because He says, you shall receive, right? You shall receive as you stand strong in these things. You know, it may not happen as quickly as we want it to happen sometimes, but nevertheless, let's stand strong, fight the good fight of faith. With faith and perseverance, we inherit the promises of God, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 6. Notice now, in John's Gospel, chapter 16, 23 and 24, Jesus again, it says, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Would you agree with me? This means God wants your joy to be full. And again, it says that we ask in His name. You see, when you ask in Jesus' name, and I've noticed in certain circles, you know, because I listen to people, you know, Christian leaders that are not necessarily of our persuasion, which is Pentecostal charismatic, basically, all right? I listen to others because, you know, sometimes they have some very good material. They have good things. They just haven't gotten the revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we have. You follow what I'm saying? But I listen to them and hear from them, learned a lot. You know, I got 2 degrees from a Baptist. Don't hold it from a Baptist seminary. So don't hold that against me, though, all right? Don't hold that against me. But thank God for the Baptists, amen? But, you know, I hear sometimes people praying, and I don't know where they get it. They just pray the prayer and they say amen. But I don't hear in the name of Jesus. Scripture says to pray in the name of Jesus. Somehow or another, they got this notion that they don't need to use the name of Jesus, that they're doing it by His authority or whatever. And so they got this notion, and I don't know what their reasoning is on it, but I hear it more and more all the time. I think, I could be wrong, I think that there's a minimizing of the idea that Jesus is involved with our answered prayer. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? I'm believing, you know, you say, oh, Pastor Jay, you're just old-fashioned. If old-fashioned means accurate, then let's stay old-fashioned. We want to stay accurate with the Scriptures. Amen? The best way we can. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I want to stay accurate with the Scriptures. And you know what? Jesus said, pray in His name. Because when you pray in His name, you're bringing Him in on the scene. When you're praying in His name, in faith, based on the Word of God, it's the same as if He were praying. You understand? Because you're praying in His name. In His name, the name represents the person. And so when we speak healing in His name, it's the same as Jesus speaking healing as well. Does that make sense to you? And how many of you know if Jesus speaks it, it better happen. Is that right? Amen? Amen. And He wants our joy to be full. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm about ready to stop for today. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 reads this way. Now, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. You probably should. Do you have confidence when you pray? They have confidence when you pray. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I'll pause there for a moment. How do we know what His will is? We know what His will is because His will is revealed to us in this book called The Last Will and Testament of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the New Testament. Amen? And so His will is revealed to us in the Word of God. And so when we get into the Word of God, we know whether or not we're speaking according or praying according to His will. I'll read the rest of this, then there's another scripture I'll just quote for you. It says this, that if we ask anything according to His will or according to His word, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And so this again shows us, when do we know that we have it? When we know we've asked according to His word, we know that we have it when we pray it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that's what faith says. Faith says we're not moved by what we see, we're moved by what we believe. Amen? We're moved by what the Word of God says. And John 15:7, Jesus said a similar thing. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's John 15 and verse 7. So it's not just asking God for just any old thing. It's asking God according to His word. Everybody with me? If you abide in me, he said, Jesus said, and my words abide in you. See, if his words abide in you, you're going to ask biblically, right? So if you abide in me, that means having the idea of closeness with him. If you abide with me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 15 and verse 7, important passage of scripture. Now, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. If you would turn there, I'd appreciate that. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We're going to read it together. And then I'm going to share it from the Amplified Bible. Then we're going to pray for people. Is everybody okay? All right, James. Do you know where James is? James is right after Hebrews, near the back of your New Testament. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you're there, say yes. And we start with verse 5. Notice what it says. James, again, inspired by the Spirit of God, he says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That means abundantly. That means a whole bunch. Who gives to all men, or gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now notice now, it's saying here and giving us this promise that if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for it, but we've got to ask in faith. But one thing we know for sure, that if that's stated in James 1, that means it's his will, that we acquire this wisdom. And when we think about this wisdom, we're thinking about, you know, guidance for life. We need wisdom for life. Some of you are here today and you're looking for wisdom. You're looking for guidance in life. You're in a place of making decisions, perhaps, whatever the case may be. Or maybe you're having a trouble with a relationship, a spouse, children, a co-worker, your boss or whomever, and you need wisdom. God says, if you ask in faith, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you guidance. I'll give you strategies. I'll give you ideas as to how to get through to the other side of that situation. God's promise is that. Remember, 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, what did it say? It said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his word, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And so if his word here in James says, if you lack wisdom, you can ask for it, we're finding out his will is for us to ask for and to receive wisdom for everyday life, for every situation that we have. Does that make sense to you today? Notice how the Amplified reads on this. It reads this way, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, boy, that covers probably all of us to one degree or another, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault finding, and it'll be given him. In other words, he's not going to say, oh, you dummy, don't you know what? He doesn't do that, does he? I've heard preachers say, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, you dummy. You know, let me tell you something. God's not going to call any of you a dummy. If you hear dummy in your mind, just reject that. That's not our God. He says, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly let not such a person imagine that he'll receive anything he asks for from the Lord. And so again, you know, everything we pray ought to be prayed in faith. Even if we're just communing with God, how many of you know just communing with God ought to be out of faith, right? And so if you'd stand with me right now. I started off by saying to you, you know, I try to be led by the Lord in these messages because we want a word in season. And so if you're here today, first let's start with this. Let's all remain in attitude of reverence toward God with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm right with God. I'm not sure that if I were to breathe my last breath and my heart were to stop, I'm not sure that I'd be in the presence of God. I'm not sure I'm forgiven. The Bible says we can be sure because it's not based on our works. It's based on the work that Christ did by dying for us in our stead. Bible says we're saved by faith in his grace and that today is the day of salvation. You know, we've all sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. And because we've all sinned, we all deserve punishment. But the good news is that we don't have to receive that punishment if we receive what Christ has done for us. And so if you're here today and you'd say, I'm not sure that if I were to die, I'd be in the presence of God. I'm not sure I'm forgiven. Would you be so bold to lift your hand so that we can pray for you, lead you into a saving knowledge of Christ right now, today. I'm not going to make you come up, but we're all going to pray together, lest there be even one. We never want to end a service without this opportunity, because hell is a terrible thing. Hell is a terrible place to be. Anybody at all? All right, let's just pray this prayer together then. I don't see hands, but let's pray this prayer based on Romans 10, 9 and 10. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for me. He took the punishment, the judgment that I deserved because I have sinned. So today, I turn from sin and I turn to Jesus. And I declare that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he's risen from the dead and he's alive. So Lord, come into my life. And from this day forward, with your help, I'll live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks for that. Amen. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.